Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We're rolling. Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at Jan_Kuhn71. I'm alongside executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning99. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. You see Ozzy Osbourne passed away today?
I did see that.
Yeah, 76 years of age, and a lot, you know, comes back. Everybody sort of putting their memories out there. The iconic take me out to the ball game. From Wrigley Field, circa, what was that, 08, 09, something like that, where he knew maybe one word in the entire song. There was that. The famous picture that, you know, brings Memphis into sort of the conversation.
And St. Louis.
He had a blues sort of three-quarter tee with the cut down the middle, and he got arrested in Shelby County. I feel like that picture was almost made for me. I mean, it brings together a lot of my life, Shelby County and the Blues. So, yeah, rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne, 76 years of age. He was still out doing shows recently,
well,
too,
he
man.
Just, he had just a few weeks ago done his farewell show, and he was amazing.
Didn't
in
think
it
was that type of farewell.
I don't think that we thought it was that type of farewell at the time, but it was going to be his final show performing. And he was incredible in it. He sat down for most of the show and absolutely ripped from all of the clips that I've been able to see. And honestly, the news was pretty shocking today when it came through. Just it's been a tough 2 days of people that we lost. Because you know, yesterday was a very tough day too, with losing Malcolm Jamal Warner, and now today with Ozzy Osbourne. Just not a fun start to the week, Gabe.
An icon in metal music, and I will say this. He lived hard.
Yes, he did.
He lived hard. He had to tone it back by the time we had him on reality television, but he lived his life very, very hard.
The now Prince of Darkness.
Yes, we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. I want to get back into the Memphis Big 12 saga of yesterday. Memphis offers $200 million and makes a bunch of concessions, and the Big 12 still says no. You know, I covered it in a positive way yesterday, and I think we sort of, I'm not going to say spun it, but we did focus on sort of the positives that you could take from what we saw yesterday. I know there's a lot of negatives, the no in general, the millionth no getting into a power conference sucks, but the fact that they raised $200 million, the fact that they've done all these things to make themselves attractive. The fact that they felt it was a fiscally responsible thing for them to do, like that shows a step and an understanding. And also just Ed Scott and the powers that be at the University of Memphis having this aggressiveness to get to a better and brighter future. Like, those are the positives to take away. But still, I get home after the show, Connor, and I just feel this lasting sense of doom. And I was trying to figure out why, and I think I've really sort of figured that out. So we'll talk about that. Also, I want to know who leaked the story. That's another thing. Ross Dellinger, of course, was the first to report it from Yahoo Sports, and I'm just curious who leaked it, because I don't know if it came from the Memphis side, Connor. I don't know if your opinion on that, because Memphis, that would be an embarrassing thing to leak to somebody, ultimately, when you're getting a no. So I want to get to the bottom of that. I know Jeffrey, who was just on, had some takes there. Also, NFL training camps are underway. We have ACC and Big Ten Media Days going on right now. And Kurt Cignetti has already spoken up, Indiana head coach who made the college football playoff in year one last year. He threw some barbs the SEC's way. As far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join the show. You know what we're going to talk about with him. And then 6 o'clock, we'll bring on Christian Fowler, per normal, on a Tuesday, Blitz at 6:30. That is the show for you. Now, I mentioned it. There was all these overwhelming positives we tried to sort of talk through yesterday. When it came to the University of Memphis and the offer that they gave to the Big 12, the aggression from behind the scenes from Ed Scott and the powers that be at the University of Memphis, the $200 million in general, the corporate sort of donors getting involved, FedEx and Lowe's and AutoZone, like those are all overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, Memphis has done some really good things the past decade or so. Own their own stadium now. Football's been ripping and roaring. Basketball with Penny Hardaway, one of the bigger figureheads in college basketball in general. But still, I talk through all these positives. I get home and I can't actually feel positively about what happened. And it's not just because they got to know. But I want to go to my colleague here, our colleague here at 92.9, John Martin, and what he had to say about it. It's on the topic of the shifting expectations. He said, Memphis has done everything it can do. Once upon a time, it was about the football program. It's been addressed. Then it was about academics. Addressed. The stadium. Addressed. The goalposts just never stop moving. And that's where the doom comes in for me. That's where I get this overwhelming, everlasting sense of doom, is Memphis has done everything in their power to get to this point. And the goalposts have always shifted. And when you sort of read John's comments and you've heard what he said on Jason and John, he talks about these goalposts and, you know, how they addressed them. But at this point, Connor, this is where the doom comes in. I don't know where the goalpost is at now. At least over the years, I can sit here when they got a no way back when from the Big 12, and I say, well, they need to figure out the stadium. The stadium's getting old. They need some renovations. Way back when, it was football. Is football ever going to be good? Yes, they figured that out. So you always had, like, this goalpost to look at is, okay, that's the thing that Memphis needs to do to get over the top. Academics, like John mentioned. That's the thing. That's where they need to focus their attention. And looking at the situation, the money pouring in, corporate donations, all of the positives that Memphis has been able to accomplish the past decade to 15 years, I think we're now at a point in 2025 with this no that it's different than others because there is no goalpost anymore. You don't know what you have to do. Now, there's reasons that people can speculate on as to why the Big 12 and their member institutions didn't want Memphis to be a part of the conference. You could talk about the basketball program. You know, it's just got this perception of lawlessness and, you know, the Sincere Parker thing. And the NCAA's always been in their backyard. They're always on probation. You could talk about that. You could talk about the view of the city and the perception of the city being a problem. But I will say this, when it comes to basketball and the perception of the basketball program, I very much think that has been addressed the past couple of years. Look at what Ed Scott and Tim Duncan have tried to do for Penny Hardaway. Look at the way Penny Hardaway has responded to what they've done. Penny Hardaway has tried to limit all the drama as soon as it arises. The Tyreek Smith situation last year was an escape from the norm from his entirety. The entirety of his tenure here at the University of Memphis. So I feel like that's been addressed to a certain extent. Now, when it comes to the perception of the city, which is, I think, most people's grand idea as to why Memphis can't get over the hump, right? Is that fair to say, Connor? It feels like a lot of people focus on the perception of the city and the crime and everything else, and that's why the Big 12 doesn't want to send their member institutions to the University of Memphis every single year. Or multiple times a year, depending on the situation. And if that's a goalpost, that's nothing that the University of Memphis can address. The University of Memphis is completely, they have their hands tied behind their back. If the perception of the city is the reason that the Big 12 and the powers that be in the power conferences are saying no and don't want Memphis to be a part of their conference, then that's something that they cannot do anything about. That's on legislation, that's on city government, that's on state government, that's on that level. University of Memphis can only do so much about the perception of the city of Memphis. So I think that's where I feel this doom. There's no goalpost anymore. At least when you got the nose in the past, there was something to aspire to. There was something to get better at. And at this point, there's nothing realistically that the University of Memphis can get better at. They can be good on the field and on the court, but they have been that for the past decade or so. They've shown their value in those two particular sports, those revenue-generating sports. They've shown more than a lot of these teams that got call-ups, whether it be BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, SMU. So they can continue to do that, control what they can control. But in the end of the day, there's no real aspiration. There's no real sort of big idea that gets you over the hump anymore. And that's where I just sit back and don't feel good about the positioning of the University of Memphis. I feel good and positive about a lot of things, the money that they're raising, type of recruits they bring in, the continued success of the revenue-generating sports. Like, I feel good about those things, but when it comes to getting into a power conference, there's nothing for me to sit back and be positive about, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think the point that you're making and the point that John initially made is the one that brings me the most concern, is what is the goalpost now? Do they even exist? Because I feel like if a couple of weeks ago, let's say 1 week ago, we said, let's pretend Memphis has a $200 million offer to get in to the Big 12 that includes not being part of the revenue for 5 years and we can be kicked out in 2030, right. 31. I feel like most of us would have been under the impression, well, one, are we sure that Memphis could even come up with that money?
I would have told you absolutely not. Yeah. There's no way. That was the most surprising. That was my first reaction right. to the news. Is $200 million?
$200 million? And then I think that most of us would have thought, yeah, that probably gets them in. But there's no way Memphis could do that. Fast forward. Oh, Memphis had that offer. They had all of the things that you would want, and they still get turned down. And I think the last 24 hours has been difficult because you're trying to figure out, why did they say no to Memphis? Why did they say no to Memphis? I do think that perception is absolutely part of it. There's no way around that. I think that the city of Memphis is on the right track for the most part. It is getting better. But for some reason, national perception is still holding us back a little bit. That is why something that Stephen A. Smith did this summer can be so detrimental to cities, because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And he's just up there and he's ranting and he's saying that is extremely bothersome. I think that part of it is it would make it an odd number in their conference. It would make it 17. I think that they're probably waiting to see what happens with the ACC. You're trying to just grasp at all of these different reasons.
But then again, that 17, that's out of Memphis's control completely.
That's out of their control as well. But you know, I think that Jeffrey talked about that, and the point that he made is, yes, it would have made you at 17, but Memphis wouldn't have been part of that revenue, and you still would have gotten $200 million. Memphis was basically saying, here's $200 million. You get to keep your revenue split for the next few seasons. Just let us in the door, man. Yep. Just let us hang out at the party. We're going to pay an excessive cover fee just to be in, but we don't expect any free beer. We don't expect any free shows. We don't expect anything. We just want to be in the room. And they said, nah, we're good. And that is something that is very difficult to grasp with, and you have to try to consider all these different things. You know, I do think that Memphis not being a conference champion the last few years, or being in the conference championship, might have something to do with it a little bit. I think that that is a fair point to make. But then when you pull up the record of Memphis versus Big 12 schools, it's a positive record.
Yeah.
They've beaten Big 12 schools in back-to-back seasons in a bowl game. So that is where it is just very difficult to accept that they simply said no. And that's why we said the first feeling that I had yesterday when I read that story was, why don't they want us, man? Why don't they want us, man? And I think that it is probably a combination of everything we just mentioned. I would just be curious which one was number one.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain on that. And again, going back to the reasons that may be number one, I think at this point, those are reasons that Memphis cannot address using money or brain power or otherwise.
I think that
the rest of the issues that seem to be at least speculated upon as to why Memphis is being held back, they're things that the University of Memphis has zero control over.
Yeah. I do think they are using money right now, though, to try to have a better stadium, to try to make sure that attendance numbers and it looks better. And I think that that's where it's frustrating, too, because they have been pumping money into this athletic department. They're trying to improve it to get into a better conference. That's the whole goal here. Everybody in the city of Memphis understands that the University of Memphis does not want to be in the American, especially what after happened yesterday, just a joke of a conference. It's okay to say it. It's an absolute joke of a conference overall.
Shout out Soar the Eagle.
And Memphis is better than the American, and they're trying to get into a better one. And we're putting resources into it. We're putting resources into it, which may be impeding or slowing down a deal with the Grizzlies, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. Like, there are a lot of different things that factor here and at play here. And it just sucks that this type of deal still got you a no. So what would get you a yes? Is it take this deal to the ACC? Would they accept this type of deal from the University of Memphis?
See, and I have questions about the ACC as well. That's a very academically inclined conference. That's a conference that, you know, Stanford and SMU got in, and SMU's a very good academic institution. That's tough in itself. And also, you do have to take into consideration the things that we talked about yesterday with the ACC. They've been in ongoing litigation with Clemson and Florida State because Clemson and Florida State don't feel like they're getting their due for how much they bring to the conference. And I know that they're out. Those suits have been dismissed. But I think that the problems still persist. The problems are still there. So if you do buy your way into the ACC and they do say yes, even though you're not the type of academic institution that they really love, what will it look like by the time you get there in 5 years, in 10 years, whatever it looks like? Like, what is that conference anymore?
Right.
Do we consider it a power conference?
Well, because Memphis has jumped into a different conference before, and then teams have had a mass exodus, and they've been left with the skeleton of a conference. It's happened in Memphis before. But, that, you know, to be honest, the only path forward is you either go to the ACC with a similar deal and try to get into there.
Wait for Pac-12, Big East to potentially come to fruition.
You wait for Pac-12 or Big East. Like, that is a possibility. But for Memphis, I think that you just got to continue what you're doing. Like, the city has to continue to try to improve overall, try to continue to change that perception. I think that you need to have success on the basketball court and the football field.
Make a run in the tournament, get to the college football playoff, you may become undeniable.
I mean, at least make it to the conference championship. I'm going to be honest. If we're offering $200 million to get into the Big 12 and then we turn around and have a season in which we can't even make the American Conference Championship, that's an embarrassing look. That will be an embarrassing look if that happens. So the goal needs to be in that game at minimum. You need to be in that football game. But then I think that Memphis continue to pump money into this athletic program, continue to try to make improvements where you can. I think that Ed Scott is a good person to have at the front, to be leading this train. It is highly discouraging that this type of deal was turned down. And that's why
Memphis has already done.
And to your point, it just feels like that goalpost has completely disappeared. It kept moving back. And Memphis somehow was able to
catch
up to it.
Nailing all those field goals.
And then it's like, oh, Memphis caught up to the goalpost? Well, let's just get rid of it. Let's change the rules. It feels like the rules got changed on Memphis.
Yes. And I don't know. But again, with what I'm trying to say, I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
What is the new rule?
What's hard to really come to grips with for me is, why wouldn't they just take this $200 million from Memphis, let them in for a few years, and if you want to kick them out, kick them out. That's why I'm like, why was there not even a vote? How much support did this actually have? Did it, well, you know, because we know that it needed 12 of the 16. Was it only 6 of the 16? Like, how many people?
There was no real
actually
vote, though.
I know. Right. But my point is, what would that number have been to even have an argument for Memphis or have the discussion about Memphis? Was the support that low that they were like, we don't even need to have a vote? I'm curious to see how close they were, or was it they were the Grand Canyon away from the Big 12?
Yeah, and I also am still curious, completely different subject, I'm still curious how this got leaked to Ross Dellinger and who was the one sort of throwing out those terms and trying to get him to understand. Did he have an offer sheet in front of him? Did he have a full-on offer from Memphis that was sent to Brett Yormark? Like, how did this get out? Because the first thing that I thought about is I can't see anyone from Memphis's side putting this out there. Because when you do that, yeah, you're sort of flexing your muscles a little bit when it comes to fundraising and where you're at in the world. $200 million, nothing to sneeze at, right? This is the most lucrative offer ever in college athletics for membership, and I guess you could want to flaunt that. But also, when you are using that offer and ultimately get denied, that's an embarrassment and a black mark on a school that I don't think the University of Memphis wanted out in the open. So, to me, this had to a certain extent, come from the Big 12 side of things and how it got leaked and how it got portrayed and given to the media and Ross Dellinger in particular. And we know historically, Ross, friend of the show, he's been on the show before, he has some very connected sort of ties to the Big 12, to Brett Yormark and otherwise, people within the Big 12 offices. So I tend to think that that's where it came from. And why would it come from them? That's my next question. Why would it come from them? I heard Jeffrey a little bit earlier, and I tend to sort of fall in line with this. If it was Brett Yormark or somebody from the Big 12 offices giving this to Ross Dellinger, the idea behind it could be, well, our membership denied this completely. They've been complaining and moaning about extra revenue. We had it on the table with no risk at all to us, and you denied it. The member institutions did. So maybe it was some level of pressure from the Big 12 offices and Brett Yormark. I don't know. This is pure speculation. I will fully admit that. But that's where my mind headed as well. I heard Jeffrey talk about it again earlier, but that's sort of, I'm inclined to believe what he was putting out there.
Well, because if you're Yormark, let's look at it from his perspective. He's probably like, they offered us $200 million to be a part of this conference for no risk.
Yeah.
And we could kick him out in a couple of years if we wanted to.
And we are trying to strike deal after deal for more revenue. Because
yeah.
We want to compete with the Big Ten. We want to compete with the SEC.
The dollar is king in college athletics now, especially with conference realignment going on. These conferences are jockeying for power. And you're telling me that an additional $200 million at no risk wouldn't help your conference? And we can be honest about it. It's not like Memphis is some terrible program. They are a highly successful program in the last few seasons. They have success.
They already have built-in rivalries with schools that you brought from the conference that they're in right now in UCF and Houston and Cincinnati.
And I also think that it is fair to say it's not like the Big 12 has a bunch of world beaters in there. We looked at Memphis's record against them. Yeah. They have a positive record against the Big 12, especially in the last few seasons. So it's not like Memphis would go in and be some sort of bottom feeder. Go look at what the other programs have been doing since they've been in there. Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, they've been terrible since they've been in. You tell me that Memphis can at least be their level or better? Get out of here with that. So if you're him, he's probably looking at the rest of the universities and saying, why?
Why not?
Why not let Memphis in? Because we can just kick them out. We can take their money and kick them out. That's what's so frustrating about this. It doesn't make any sense. Where's the goalpost? It doesn't exist.
Yes. Yep. No doubt about it. No doubt. But let's go ahead and transition up out of this conversation and get to another one. NFL training camps are underway, and we're going to have the Hall of Fame game at the end of the month. But we have to go out to the gift that keeps on giving. Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones just keeps opening that big fat mouth of his. This time, talking about Micah Parsons' extension and why he's been hesitant to get that inked. We'll talk about it next. What a phenomenal music choice to come back from the break with. Rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne. Died at 76 today. But also, I think it's a great pump-up music. Get us ready for some football. 26 NFL teams reported to camp today. That's now 30 of 32 teams that have reported to camp. The only two teams that have not. Steelers and Falcons report tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Steelers report tomorrow. I want to see what that looks like. What's Aaron Rodgers going to say? what's Mike Tomlin going to say about Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I'm very excited for that. But with NFL teams reporting to training camp, the first thing we do in sports media is talk about the holdouts, and there's plenty of them to get to, right? James Cook seems to be holding out in Buffalo, or holding in, rather, in Buffalo. Trey Hendrickson is officially holding out. He's been in Florida away from Cincinnati and the Bengals for, I think, the past month. Shamar Stewart with the Bengals is another one, but there's one in particular that's playing out as publicly as possible, and that is Micah Parsons, one of the best edge rushers in the league. He led the league last year in pass rush win rate, and he is looking for a new deal going into year five with the Dallas Cowboys. And at the start of Cowboys training camp yesterday, Jerry Jones opened his mouth when he was asked about the Micah Parsons extension and what goes into making the decision and how do you ultimately get it done. Here's what Jerry had to say. All right, now, another example of Jerry saying things out of pocket that he probably shouldn't. But J.J. Watt wraps up my thoughts pretty well. He tweeted this out, put this on X. Anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously, right before the season begins, you just got to take it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. Now, here's the thing. Micah Parsons needs an extension. I completely understand that. It hasn't been paid out, yada, yada, yada. We can sort of talk about that here in a moment. But I want to point something out that has been lost a bit in this conversation. We always talk about, like, fans and their lack of human empathy when it comes to athletes and not being able to put themselves in their shoes and, you know, losing the human element. We talk about it with fans all the time, right, Connor? Like, that's something that we consistently discuss and has consistently been a problem since we've covered sports and followed sports the way we do now. But what Jerry Jones is showing right there is he's in the same boat. He loses out on the human element for the players that are on his roster. Dak Prescott, just because you gave him a contract, that does not guarantee he's going to be on the field on a consistent basis. It doesn't mean he's not going to deal with a massive injury that could keep him off the field for two-thirds of the year. And by the way, with Micah Parsons, he didn't miss six games, he missed four, so you completely screwed that up. But we all know what you have to say is true. But for you to act as if their injuries are a you problem, making it personal to you and the Cowboys, seems to be a loss of the human element from an owner in the NFL. That's what it seems like to me. Now, when it comes to injuries and how they play a role in contract negotiations, you can't be scared of injuries. When a guy is a top five player at his position, you need to pay him. And the truth of the matter is, Micah Parsons got hurt for four games last year. You know how many games he played in the three seasons previous to that? 16 plus. He played just about every single game he could have played in the 3 years before last year, and he only missed four games due to injury. And I get where there's been some bad examples throughout the history of sports where you pay a guy big money and he gets injured and he's never the same player. I completely get that. I know the 49ers last year, when they paid Brandon Ayuk after his holdout, didn't expect him to tear his ACL in game one, right? Like, that's just tough. It's part of the game, though. You play a contact sport, things happen. But there's also a lot of examples where it works out pretty damn well. You can't be scared of injury when paying a top player at their particular position. Look at how Lamar Jackson's extension worked out. Look at how Patrick Mahomes' extension worked out. Joe Burrow was a guy who couldn't stay on the field on a consistent basis before he got his contract. He gets his contract, he has a career year and stays on the field the entire time. When you give out a contract, you have the money represent the projection you're making for that player. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But you cannot do contract negotiations for a guy who's not even oft injured and be scared of injury. I get what Jerry's trying to say, but I don't think it makes sense in the context of contract negotiations for one Micah Parsons, who has been on the field more often than not and produced at the highest levels in the NFL. Just insanity, but we do this song and dance every year with Jerry. He opens his big fat mouth, says some things he shouldn't, and it makes everyone almost collectively gasp and say they're out on the Cowboys. Not that I was fully in on the Cowboys, but to have this perpetuate into camp and to have the, you know, trading barbs back and forth, Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones, I am completely out on the Cowboys. But here is Micah Parsons sort of in response to what Jerry had to say at the beginning of training camp. I'm going to be honest. Jerry Jones' presence is not only hurting the current Cowboys, it's hurting the future of the Cowboys at this point. Because what he has to say about contract extensions and taking care of his own guys and all of these different things over the past, I don't know, 5 years, 5-6 years, Connor, is that a fair sort of estimation? It does not make people believe in your organization. It does not make star players want to play for your organization. The days of the star and the emblem and the idea of playing for the Dallas Cowboys, the sort of larger-than-life brand that it is, those days are gone. The NFL has grown past that. There are multiple organizations that are close to the level of brand that the Dallas Cowboys are. So I just want to make this very clear. Jerry Jones is still pulling strings behind the scenes, but he is also hurting what his team looks like and a franchise he loves so much right now. And I think that this could perpetuate going into the future as long as he is.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
The guy that gets answered to, the guy that speaks in front of the mic, the guy that has to be the figurehead of that franchise. He is hurting them more than he's helping them, and it's been going on for some time now.
Kevin Clark was on ESPN today, and he was talking about Jerry Jones and the barrier he has been to the Dallas Cowboys' success, especially in the last few years with refusing to pay players. And I think that the point he made was very true. It's the same point that you and I have basically been making, it feels like, since this show started. Since I've been on this show, you and I have basically been saying the same thing about Jerry Jones. He said that let's imagine a scenario in which the football gods came down and talked to Jerry Jones and said, you can win 3 Super Bowls in a row, but here's the catch. You can't be in front of a camera, and you can't do an interview, and you can't do a press conference. He would say no.
He'd take his chances with trying to win one.
He would say no. In front of a camera. He would not want to do that because Jerry Jones cares about himself first, his brand first, and then the Dallas Cowboys. The way we know this is the entire history of the Cowboys under Jerry Jones. They haven't had any success
since
in 20
90s.
Years. Since the 90s, they haven't had any success. They are projected to have the lowest win total this upcoming season since 2003. And it's because he simply refuses to pay guys. In that clip that we just played with Micah Parsons, he had another player standing right next to him. Trayvon Diggs, listing off other guys who haven't been paid. Or listing off guys who have been paid. It seems like to me, the players are pissed off on the Dallas Cowboys. They don't want to be there. The only reason they're there is because they've had to go through these contract negotiations, and they've eventually gotten paid. I just don't understand Jerry Jones' strategy here. You're going to pay him. You're not going to let a guy like Micah Parsons walk. So what are we doing? And if you're going to take a shot at a player, at least get the games
get
right
the details,
that they
right.
played.
Yes.
Absolutely insane for you to take a shot at your quarterback and your best defensive player at the same time.
I think I know his strategy, Connor, but it goes back to what I've been saying for years now. The strategy is something he's held since he took over the team, and that's the brand of the Cowboys and being in Dallas and playing for this unbelievable billion-dollar franchise. He hopes that that wins the day and guys take pay cuts. That's his strategy. I think it's very clear. But I have told anyone who will listen for the past 5 to 10 years, that strategy is timed out. It doesn't work anymore. It never really did work. You know, it's not. If you have a player who deserves top of the market money, they're going to want to get top of the market money. They're going to demand that. So that's his strategy, Connor. I know what his strategy is. It just doesn't work. Hence why he is hurting that franchise way more than he's helping it. And it has been that way for some time. And the Kevin Clark thing is funny, and we could debate that. I do kind of agree with his sentiment there. Jerry Jones likes to be the figurehead. He likes to be the face. He wants to be out front. He wants to represent the star. You need to hand that off to players. You need to make sure that they are the ones that are answering for the franchise. It doesn't need to be you. When you look at the best franchises in the NFL, I can't think of an owner close to Jerry Jones in the realm of being in front of the media. Ravens, that doesn't happen. Chiefs, who have been the most successful franchise in recent memory, doesn't happen. The Hunt family's not out there speaking on a consistent basis about contract negotiations. We have a blueprint. We have an understanding for how owners should handle business in all sports in North America. Pay the money, step back, let the people you hired do their job. That's what wins. That's what you find success with. That is the blueprint. But Jerry Jones can't do that. He can't give up what he thinks he has as the face of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's frustrating. If you're a Cowboys fan, I feel your pain. I really do. There's no doubt about it. Now, also, with that, we have another DN that's holding out officially, and we knew this was going to happen. But Trey Hendrickson with the Cincinnati Bengals, he is in Florida right now. He is at home. He's working out. He's been doing it for the last 30 days. He's working out and training at home, not in Cincinnati. I want to ask this question, Connor, and I guess I'll answer it as well. But who's more likely to get a deal done in the next, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we get to the season? Is it going to be the Bengals with Trey Hendrickson or the Cowboys with Micah Parsons?
I feel like the Cowboys with Micah Parsons, because the thing about Jerry is the noise is going to get so loud eventually that it's so ridiculous.
As it always did with Dak, with CD.
And I think it matters that the Cowboys truly have the money, that they could do it right now. And it wouldn't put a dent. That's what's so frustrating about this Cowboys situation is it's not like they're penny pinching for no reason. The Bengals, I think it's silly what they're doing, but at least it's a franchise that isn't rolling in dough.
They're the least valuable franchise in the NFL.
So it makes a little bit more sense there.
Yeah.
Like the Cowboys, it's just stupid. It's just an ego play. It makes no sense. But the Bengals, you can actually look at it and say, you should pay him. But you are the least valuable franchise in the NFL. So I think it's more likely the Cowboys one gets done than the Bengals.
I think it's more likely that it gets done as well, if for no other reason than Micah Parsons is a larger-than-life figure, has his own podcast, very popular. What you said about the noise, I don't think people fully grasp it. The noise is going to get loud. It's going to get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder as long as this perpetuates. And eventually, we have seen with CeeDee Lamb and with Dak Prescott, the louder it gets, eventually they get it done. But, forewarning to Jerry Jones and the Jones family, you are not, even with that noise getting louder and louder and louder, you're not going to get him for any less than the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. It's going to be right around $42, $43, $44, maybe even $45 million per year. And he may want closer to 45 because of how you have talked about it leading up to that point. So that's a forewarning. You're not, I know you've tried to let this play out. He's in camp right now. You feel good about yourself. You're still not going to get him to ink anything less than the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
And they didn't have to do this.
Not at all. No. They didn't have to do it. They never have to do it. It's this Jerry Jones 90s when he took over the Cowboys strategy of trying to get the star to speak for him. And that's not at all how any of this works. It's a new day. It's been a new day for a while now, right? We have dealt with these contracts and you know, the next guy beating out the previous guy for, I don't know, a good decade. Probably the better part of 15 years now. Just get it done. And again, there is no real drawbacks to bringing back Micah Parsons for that money. He is a top three player at his position. Sometimes he's the best player at his position. He's played in the league for 4 years. He's been to four Pro Bowls. He's been in the Defensive Player of the Year running every single year of his career. He's been an All-Pro three times over in 4 years. Two times on the first team All-Pro list. What in the world do you want from him? What else could you possibly ask him to do in his power to earn the money that you ultimately have to give him? That's my question. What else does Micah Parsons have to do? For real. Because I don't have the answer to that. Similar to the Memphis thing we were talking about earlier. There's no other goalposts that you could make him work for. I mean, he has done everything in his power to be one of the best at his position. He moved positions his rookie year. There's just nothing else. There's nothing else he can do to earn this money. Just pay it to him, and let's move on with our lives. Because ultimately, that's how it ends, right, Connor? I mean, we've gotten used to this song and
dance. That's why.
But at the end of the day, they end up paying top of the market, like we all said that they would have to do.
We've been asking this question for a few weeks, but has the team ever won in this type of situation? Has it ever worked out to where the team
when it goes this long? There's a reason it goes this long. Because the player is not making concessions.
Yeah, the player always wins, and you always have to pay top of market. But you didn't have to do that if you did this 2 months ago.
Yeah, and I'm looking for that guaranteed money they're going to have to give Micah, too.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Sheesh.
It's going to be heavy. It's going to be big. Also in the NFL, worth mentioning, Philip Rivers, he officially retired from the NFL, but he says, made a big deal about it yesterday on X, that he wants to retire a Charger. We figured you were like, that's where you did all your work, Philip. I have no issue with that. And then Jimmy Graham is going to retire with the Saints.
Cool.
Guys that have been out of the league for some time now, they're retiring with the teams that they did well with. I don't know what to do with that information.
Both of them were.
But that information
is out there. Thought that already happened, but good for you.
Yeah. I thought the NBA, I mean, the NFL is trying to catch up. The NBA usually has the most announcements of guys that I thought were retired, officially retiring.
Right.
But the NFL is trying to catch up with Phillip Rivers and Jimmy Graham. That's what I take from this situation. All right, now hour number two is on the way. We'll open it with Jeff Calkins. We have a lot to discuss, including but not limited to Memphis and the Big 12. Make sure you stick around for that. 92.9 FM, ESPN.